Okay, so the theme of our service today is new life. And, okay, a little sprouting thing we kind of recognize as new life, but that phrase, new life, implies two things. Either there must have been an old life, because how can it be new if there wasn't an old one? Like if you have a new coat, it's because you had an old coat. There was an old coat. Or maybe new life from death. So the picture of the sprouting seed, okay, the seed that you bury in the ground isn't technically completely dead, but it's pretty close. When it sprouts, it's as if there's new life from old. And those two things, the switching the new for the old and the new life from death, is what we're going to be concentrating on. However, there is a question mark at the end, which hopefully you can see. Because do we want new life? Or are we kind of maybe not content, but we're not going to change? Okay, so just remember, there could be a question mark. I mean, I put it on there, and there is a choice for us to make as we think about new life. Okay, so Easter, new life, it's not a surprise that we're talking about that. But is this what Easter is about? Not that. That, sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of cute, if you like that kind of thing. Okay, so here's an alternative for what Easter is about. Okay, that's chocolate, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, and they're fake, so don't, well, they're a picture, so don't come rushing. But if you go in the shops, you'll see rabbits and eggs, tons of chocolate like this. And in fact, if you go into the supermarkets and look for Easter cards, it's pretty depressing. So I was looking for a card yesterday, and in Asda, you know, there's a rack about this wide and this high, full of Easter cards, and only one, literally one, has anything to do with the real Easter, with a cross on it. And actually, even the poem that was written on the cross was incredibly naff. I mean, I'm quite fussy, but it was awful. And that was the only one. Everything else was eggs and chickens and chocolate. Nothing else about the real meaning of Easter. Okay, but we moan about that and say, oh, people should understand the real meaning of Easter. And even if we do it a bit more tastefully, which I hope these are more tasteful eggs, yeah, do we get it? Do we really, really get what Easter is about? Because it's pretty familiar to, you know, some of us have been coming to church for, well, all our lives, and that for some of us is quite a while. But do we get it afresh every time and really understand? And then what about on Monday? Well, actually, Monday we might remember that it's Easter because it's a bank holiday, but you know, by Friday, will we have forgotten and be just the way we were 3 weeks ago? We need to make sure we get it. Okay, and as I said, it's pretty familiar. And for some of you, this picture will be really familiar because you saw it on Friday. Okay, but the notion that Christ died and is risen should change everything, does change everything. And we need to remember that, not just at Easter, but every day. Okay, but back to the new life thing. So Christ died, he's in the tomb. Then what? Well, okay, it's kind of a bit like the Titanic here, because we know the end of the story. But the iceberg, yeah? But the disciples didn't. So on Friday and Saturday, they were, I mean, dismally depressed and fed up and scared and all of that. Now, that's a different sermon, but they really didn't expect anything dramatic to happen, even though Jesus had told them it was going to. They thought it was finished. No hope of new life. You know, once you're nailed to a cross and you've stabbed and, you know, your blood and water comes out, that shows you're dead. And then if your body is put in a tomb for 3 days, you know, you're dead. You're not coming back. Bodies do not come back to life. So they were expecting end. That's why they were so fed up. But all the symbols we see in the shops that we moan about, and we do moan, or I moan, they are actually symbols of new life. So It's actually a good thing that there are Easter eggs and rabbits and chickens and all of that. It is about new life. So each of these is a symbol of new life. Because, you know, an egg, it looks dead, but actually you wait 21 days and out pops, hops, whatever chickens do, out comes a live chicken. Okay, so an egg looks pretty dead. Not really. Rabbits, well, they breed like rabbits. And they do that in the spring particularly. So there are millions of rabbits. And, yeah, and the chicken. So that's why we have these symbols of new life. And we shouldn't forget that they are telling us, reminding us again and again, that there was new life at that first Easter. And it wasn't just new in a slightly different way. It was new life because it came from death. So Christ really was dead, and he really was raised. Okay, so let's think a little bit more about that. What does that mean? We've done the symbols for Easter. So what does it mean for Jesus? What did it mean for Jesus on that first Easter? Because, of course, we think it's all about us, but actually Easter meant something for Jesus too. So, firstly, it was vindication for him. It proved that what he had been doing was the right thing, and that his sacrifice was acceptable for God. Okay, so if you look up the dictionary definition of vindication, it says, it's to justify, to prove, or to absolve from guilt. Okay, so Jesus was proved right when he was raised from the dead. Because if God had not thought he'd done a good enough job, the sacrifice wasn't acceptable, or he wasn't God's son, then no resurrection. But because he was raised from the dead, death by God's mighty power, we read those verses, that proves that everything he did was the right thing. He got it right. Okay, so there are more verses, many, many, many verses I could have chosen, and you'll be glad to know that I've only chosen a really tiny number, he says, looking at the clock. Okay, so this is in Colossians, which actually we studied not that long ago. So this describes Jesus. He existed before anything else and holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who raised from the dead. So he's the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So this translation is slightly different to the one you might be familiar with. But verse 19, which is the key one, or one of the key ones, it's all good, but anyway. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him is probably a slightly more familiar rendition of verse 19. But the notion of all of God being in Christ was proved at the resurrection. And then in the context of what that achieves for us, through him, that's through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself, made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Okay, so he was like raised to life, and vindicates him, and that gives proof of power over death as well, and proof of salvation for us. So everything that Christ wanted to do was sealed, pretty much, at the resurrection. The proof that it was all okay, and proof that death is beaten. So another verse that talks about the conquering of death. He has made all this plain for us by the appearing of Christ Jesus our Saviour. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. That's in Timothy. So breaking the power of death, that's what Christ did on the cross and the resurrection. The two obviously go together. You can't be resurrected if you haven't died. So that's a little bit about what the resurrection means for Christ. But what does it mean for us? Well, firstly, we have to think about whether we're dead or alive. Because if the promise is of new life, promise of new life in Christ, well, there has to be an old life that's dead and gone. So firstly, we need to think, are we alive in Christ, or are we still dead in sin? Now, those are kind of heavy-duty theological phrases. But this is where that little question mark I put up earlier comes. Not everybody is alive. Okay? Now, we're all breathing. So in a physical sense, we're alive. But not all of us are alive in Christ. Some of us, and many, many, many people, most of the people around who we know, are not alive. They're dead in their sin. And we'll think a little bit more about what that might mean later. However, if we are alive in Christ, we're saved. So Jesus is the Savior of the world, as we sang earlier. We are saved because of what he's done. Okay, and that means that we are justified. So he, that's Jesus, was handed over because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. So that's that trade. Our sin goes to his punishment. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. So it's a swap. So the punishment that was due to us was transferred to Christ, and his righteousness that he had is transferred to us if we're alive in Christ. That's justification. Okay, so this is another little bit of scripture from Colossians again, actually. Colossians pops up time and time and time again today. So this talks about what's happened to us. This is very much from our point of view. So, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. Your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Okay, so incidentally, there's this a tiny little extra bit in here I'm going to comment on. So the line here about being baptized, Paul assumes here Christians are baptized, and it's the same thing pretty much, because it happens so close together. That's just an aside. But from our point of view, we were dead because of our sin, and God made us alive because he forgave all our sins. So that, again, is that transaction. We were dead, we're made alive. Sin is gone, we are forgiven. But this talks about death and being dead. God made you alive because we were dead. So what do we think about death? It's rather a gruesome topic for Easter Sunday, but okay, so here's a graveyard. Kind of a slightly arty photo because it's all black and white, but do we just think of it as the end? Is it a bit chilling, somber perhaps? Or maybe it's best if we just don't think about it. I mean, much of the time we probably do ignore it, but is it something we can ignore? And remember that another aspect of death that we often forget is it comes with decay. So here's mouldy fruit. I did find some more gruesome pictures of other things rotting. I stuck with the lemons. But the verses in Colossians that we read talk about the consequence of death, and that's being dead in sin. So these are the second bits of orange here. So he cancelled the record of the charges against us. So that is, the charges against us are the consequences of our sin. Okay, but Christ has cancelled that, cancelled the record of all of that, because it was nailed to the cross, and then disarmed the spiritual rulers, which means we have nothing to fear for the future. Okay, so in terms of what it means for us, the lessons there that we need to remember, Christ died, Christ is risen. Yeah, we need to remember that for sure. That's a lesson to remember. And that we have new life. And again, we can have new life. There's a choice to be made there. We can have new life in him. Okay, so what does new life mean? What does it look like? Well, I said right at the beginning of the service, there was a daffodil thing going on. So we got daffodils here, daffodils on the cards, more flowers here with more daffs, and some other ones that I don't know what they are. And there's a big pile of daffodils here. Now, on Friday, those of you who were here will have seen little orange, well, you will have had little orange bits of paper like this, on which we wrote down some, I guess not all, because they wouldn't all fit on one piece of paper, some of our sin. Okay? And then the little bits of paper were folded up and they were put in the bowl. It's actually the same bowl that's underneath the daffs, and they were laid at the foot of the cross. Okay? So the new life, a critical part of that, is the sin, yours and mine, being, I mean, the Colossians says, nailed to the cross. Okay, we didn't do that. We just laid them at the foot of the cross. And they have miraculously turned into daffodils. Well, I say miraculously. It was Asda or Tesco's. Anyway. And the sins, okay, they weren't nailed to the cross. They were put in the shredder. So you don't need to worry that anyone's going to be reading them. They were shredded on Friday. But new life. So the key thing, sin, okay, symbolically, little bits of paper turn into new life at the cross. So that's a critical thing and the most important thing for us about the lesson of new life. So we are free from the guilt, the condemnation, and the punishment that comes from sin. Okay, and if we think that isn't true, then, I mean, one day we will find out, and then it's too late. So we're free from that if we are alive in Christ. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay? Complete rescue because of the resurrection. And, as if that wasn't enough, new life also brings joy and peace and hope. And all of that is sermon in itself. But we're not having that today, you'll be glad to know. The other aspect of new life is the new creations. So we are made new. Not only are we have life as opposed to death, but we are completely new. We are new creations in Christ. And we should be, we are different now than when we were before. So the old me is gone, and there's a new me. Okay, and then we should be getting new every day so that we change over time and become more like Christ, more like his new life for us. So there's two processes going on. Justification stuff, which we talked about, and then becoming new. You can have a big word, another big word, you can have sanctification, becoming holy, okay? So salvation and changing, think of it like that, okay? Now, really importantly, this is only in Christ. So we are alive in Christ or we're dead in sin. And it's Christ's power and his new life in us that enables us to be changed.